And now, from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting to Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, throughout the nine worlds and beyond, the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. You are tuned to the immortal sounds of Radio Free Asgard.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Radio Free Asgard. This is episode number 177. And we're coming at you, as always, from beautiful Chicago, Illinois. My name is Tom Harris. I'm the host of this mess. And Happy New Year, everybody. Yeah, this is our first episode of 2015. Well, kind of, because I think the last episode actually posted on January 1st, but this is actually being recorded after January 1st. So I guess this is the first show that we've recorded in 2015. And I hope everybody had a very happy new year, that you drove safely, enjoyed yourself, and generally just had a good time for New Year's, Hogmanay, whenever holiday that you guys are celebrating out there. And of course, we are back. So just a couple of comments here, just to get a breezing over. We had a couple of responses to my message about the Hulk versus DVD, and it seems that I'm not alone in not liking this DVD that much. Chris Bendorf actually had said that, he didn't understand why Wolverine was in this thing at all. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, that's part of it. I don't know if I, criticized it for this, but the Wolverine story was really a Wolverine story. It really, I mean, it had the Hulk in it, and the Hulk was sort of central to what was going on, but it really wasn't a Hulk story. It was more like, here's Wolverine. He's trying to find the Hulk, and here's the people who are trying to kill Wolverine, and they're trying to find the, and it was really about Wolverine and Omega Red and Lady Deathstrike and that whole crew. And it was very much more a Wolverine-centric story. Not that there was much story there, mind you. But, I have to say, I was not impressed by that. So anyway, as you folks remember, last time we wrapped up the Silver Age, starting into the Bronze Age, and now we're shifting gears again. And we're going to be covering, over the next few weeks, we're going to be wrapping up Thor, God of Thunder, because we're way behind on Thor, God of Thunder. When was the last time we actually touched base with Thor, God of Thunder? It's been a long time. It's probably 20 or 30 episodes. It's just been probably not that many, but it seems like a long time since we covered Thor, God of Thunder. So we're going to wrap up that series over the next few weeks, starting this week. So why don't we just get along to it, shall we?
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder the God of Thunder, mighty Thor.
And this week we are covering Thor, God of Thunder, number one. No, it's not number one. It has a huge number one on the cover to make you think it's a number one issue, but it's actually Thor, God of Thunder, number 19, part one of The Last Days of Midgard. It's a cheap trick that they kind of emblazon this big number one on the top of the cover so that you don't see that it's actually issue number 19. And it makes me wonder how much the sales of Thor, God of Thunder were hurting at this point. Anyhow, cover artist by Esad Rebic shows Thor holding Mjolnir in his hand and cape billowing impressively. There's a shield agent of some description behind him pointing a gun sort of kind of in his direction, though I think she's actually pointing the gun past him. And she's standing on what looks to be a car hood. And behind her is, I guess we have images of, looks like maybe the shield helicarrier or it's actually a submarine. We have submarines in the issue as well. And behind her, a looming big red devil face. Yes, it's very ominous indeed. Beautiful cover, though. I really, really like the cover on this. And we open up to the splash page where we have, it's a bit of recap, and it's a bit of story that we get on the splash page. Exposition, 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 as it says. But we also have the credits. Jason Aaron was the writer. Isad Rebic was the artist. Ives Svortsina is the color artist. VC's Joe Sabino was the letterer. Isad Rebic did the cover. There were other, they also give some credits here for variant covers, which we don't care about. John Moisan was the assistant editor. Will Moss is the editor. I think that's a switch. Axel Alonso was the editor-in-chief. Joe Quesada is the chief creative officer. Dan Buckley is the publisher. And Alan Fine is the executive producer. And the splash page is a letter from Roxxon, and it gives an exposition, so I have to read it. And it's in the form of a memo. To all staff, subject 2/12/2014. That's nothing like the, to date a story like that. Subject, public relations. It has been a hard road, and we are all the stronger for it. Roxxon is its own master once again. Did I mention this comes from Roxxon Energy Corporation? I probably didn't, so that was probably sloppy of me. As we prepare to take the corporate world by storm, we must guard our good reputation as the world's wealthiest, most powerful super corporation with all due diligence. With that in mind, there are a couple pieces of related business to address. One, as you may know, recently a SHIELD environmental investigation team claimed that the unfortunate deaths of some sea life in the Southern Ocean were due to our underwater mining station there. It was a completely fraudulent claim, as was soon proven in a court of law. However, we continue to be dogged by a member of that team, a rookie SHIELD agent named Roz Solomon. Gee, I wonder where we've seen her before. As is our policy, please continue to forward any and all communications from Agent Solomon to our PR team. She will be dealt with accordingly. Two, on a more positive note, we are about to send out a press release inviting the media to the grand unveiling of the pipeline project in Glacier Bay National Park, Alaska. When the public gets their first glimpse of the gift we are bestowing upon them, I believe the reaction will be, quote-unquote, out of this world. But please do keep the details under wraps until then. I trust you will all understand the importance of these matters. I look forward to working with you on our mission to make the world a better place through Roxxon. And that's the letter signed Dario Dagger, CEO. Anyway, the story opens in the depths of space, and we have Old Man Thor, and he's just kind of sifting through the worlds of 20,000 years in the future, wherever he is. And we get another bit of exposition. Once he begins looking, they are easy to find, floating throughout the cosmos like giant bloated corpses. Dead worlds. Worlds that had once been teeming with life, but now are burned or frozen, flooded or dry as the grave. A few are so toxic even he cannot walk upon them for long. Some have been dead for untold eons, others for just a few million years. All are rotten and decayed. All are deathly silent. Many, he can tell, were the victims of war. Strangely, those are the ones he finds comforting. Battles between armies he understands. But who do you fight if it's the world itself that is killing its people? If its people are the ones killing the world? The earth is dying, and the God of Thunder has no idea who to smite in order to save it. And we see Old Man Thor on the surface of looks like a dead planet, and there's like bones and shit on the ground, and yeah. All right. So then we shift scenes, and we are on Earth in the present day in the Southern Ocean, and we have a flying SHIELD car, and it seems to be buzzing a group of whales who are swimming amongst the icebergs here. And this is, of course, Roz Solomon, who we heard tell about on the first page. This is Car 7. I've got a whole herd of blue whales moving at 10 to 12 knots. Looks to me like they're running from something, but there's not a ship in sight. I'm going down to take a look. Isn't it funny how she sounds just like Jane Foster? Yeah, I thought that was funny. And the car plunges into the water right in the middle of the whales, which you'd think would be silly because that would scare them, but okay. Sonar is definitely picking up something. Multiple targets. Good Lord, they're huge. And you get somebody else on the radio. I suspect they are. If the rumors we've heard are true, get a visual confirmation and then call in the rest of your team. Promise me we will not engage them on your own. I hate dealing with international incidents this early in the morning. And besides, you've only been in the field for 3 weeks. Don't go thinking you're the Black Widow just yet.
With all due respect, Agent Coulson, Romanoff doesn't have an environmental law degree and 300 hours of marine mammal vocalization training. I do, which makes me the only SHIELD agent for this job.
You speak whale. That's very impressive, Agent Solomon, but it won't do you much good if you get shot with a vibranium harpoon. Don't get cocky down there. I've seen cocky listed as a cause of death too many times.
I'm not cocky, sir. Just ready to finally earn my pay. I have visual confirmation on the targets, hailing them now.
It's interesting because I didn't realize that Agent Coulson had been so blatantly inserted into the Marvel Universe at this point, but I guess he has. And we open up to the next page, and we have a double page spread here, and it's three huge submarines, or is it two? It's two huge submarines. I'm having a counting problem today. Two huge submarines, and the car is down there too. And, they're truly enormous submarines, and there's, of course, the whales down there, too. And so we have Agent Solomon, and she's hailing them.
Attention, Yoshida Industries Underwater Whaling Fleet. This is the SHIELD Environmental Action Team. Your presence in the Southern Ocean Whale Sanctuary is a violation of international law. Surface now and stand by to be boarded.
And apparently they don't like what they heard, and they start turning around.
The harpoon subs are making a run for it.
Let them go and follow at a safe distance. Your team is en route. Yoshida Industries. Haven't heard much from these guys in a while. They're an old-school Japanese conglomerate with long-time ties to the Yakuza. The company is currently run by Shingen Harada, the new Silver Samurai, son of the old one. The kid's a super genius. No telling what those subs are capable of other than illegally killing lots of whales, of course.
Wait a second. They're not running. They're armored torpedoes.
Solomon, what the hell are you doing?
Relax, Coulson. I got this. I'm an excellent driver.
And we see that one of the big subs has shot a couple of torpedoes, and they seem to be heat-seeking torpedoes because they're homing in on on the car. And I kind of wonder, is a heat-seeking torpedo really a thing? I mean, that's clearly what these are supposed to be. Anyway, it doesn't seem like it would be a thing, but I don't know. I don't know anything about torpedoes.
Solomon, get out of there before you compromise the car. Even with a sub-zero diving suit, you wouldn't last long in those freezing cold waters.
I'm not letting them get away. This is exactly the sort of battle I signed on for, and I'm not about to...
And there's a giant... So apparently one of the harpoons has hit the car. Are the torpedoes shooting harpoons or something? I don't know what's going on. A harpoon penetrates the car, smashes the windshield, and water is pouring in. And she's got some sort of a fancy, like, liquidy sort of diving suit that's actually kind of enfolding her. And we see, like, those seatbelts letting go and all that, so she's going to get trapped.
What was that? Roz, are you all right?
The car's been compromised. Tell my mother I love her.
And she ejects from the car with a whoosh and goes off into the water and is swimming through the water towards the whales. She actually grabs onto one of the whale's tail and is being dragged along by it. And we see one of the, one of the torpedoes hitting the car. Goes boom. That's the end of the car.
Your backup is still 3 minutes away. Not to get personal, but now might be a good time to call in your boyfriend.
Boyfriend?
Yeah, surely he gave you some sort of signal watch or...
Damn it! I've told you and everyone else. We've never even been on a date. He's not my...
And we see Mjolnir just smashing down into the water with a splash. And after the ad for the Kubert School, we see where that is gone. And we see the... The sub is being struck by Mjolnir. Both of them have been struck by Mjolnir and some big explosions. Coulson is like,
not your boyfriend, huh? Whatever you do, don't tell him that.
I don't have a signal watch. How the hell did he even know? Oh, God, can he see me from space?
For a second there, I might have prayed to him just a teensy little bit.
I'm only seeing the hammer. Where's the rest of him?
About 30 miles up and closing, and we see Thor kind of barreling down from space and splashing into the water and the icebergs, the giant splash. It looks like he hits an iceberg, which even for Thor, that sounds a little bit painful.
and he splashes down into the water, and there are sort of underwater samurai warriors coming after her with swords, which is weird. And we see Thor plummeting into the water and his hammer returning to him. And he's got really good aim because he's right here by Roz. And we have the caption, "And lo, the sound of thunder was heard, even in the depths of the sea." And we get a little bit of lightning and crap in the sea. I guess that's what it is. Or you know, maybe it could be the subs exploding or whatever. And Coulson's like,
"So, how's your date going?"
"Not a good time, Coulson."
"Seriously, you guys almost done down there?"
"Yeah, sure. Just, you know, just tidying up."
She's fighting off these guys with the samurai swords underwater. That seems like one of the least efficient weapons possible. Anything that you have to swing underwater, like a sword, that really doesn't sound like the kind of thing. You know, a pike would be more like it, a spear, you know, but a sword that you have to swing, forget it. These people are stupid. Anyway, Thor is attacking the sub and he's, you know, kind of wrecking him. He's going, "How about the foul Leviathan?" Because, you know, Thor can talk underwater.
"Your team's topside. Let them take over. I want you airborne ASAP."
And so we see a shield boat up on the surface. And you know, Thor is still fighting these guys. And she's talking to Coulson.
"Coulson, this is my operation. If I'm being called in for a reprimand, can I at least wait until..."
"You environmentalists, so touchy. Relax, Agent Solomon, you're not in trouble, though you do owe me a car. Something just came across the wire, something I'm pretty sure you won't want to miss."
And we shift scenes again, and we are at Alaska, Glacier Bay National Park, and there's a bunch of these Roxxon people hanging out here, and there's like the set of a base camp, and they're kind of hanging out on the, you know, big chunks of ice. So there's a... this guy, Dario Agger, or Dagger, yeah. And he's kind of making a speech to these Roxxon employees.
"I want you all to remember this day for the rest of your lives, because years from now, people will look back at this moment, at us, right here, right now, and they'll say that was when it started. That was when Roxxon began to save the world."
And there's a bunch of... it looks like reporters, I guess. They're holding up microphones or ice cream cones or popsicles or something. That's what they look like.
"My name is Dario Agger, CEO of the all-new Roxxon Energy Corporation, a company that only a few short months ago emerged like a phoenix from the ashes of its former controllers, the Kronas Corporation. At last, we at Roxxon are our own masters once again, and we've wasted no time in getting back to what we do best, taking the planet we love and making it better. Yes, we are still the world's leading supplier of oil and energy, but after today, after you witness just this first of our exciting new ventures, each one of which is a feat of engineering on a scale to rival the pyramids, you will know us for so much more. Roxxon will be your future. Roxxon will ensure that you have one."
And then we get an ad for Marvel's Saturday Mornings with the Avengers Assemble, and yeah, okay. And then we continue on. And we see this guy is standing up, and there's this helicopter coming, holding this giant chunk of something. It's bringing, I would tell you what it was, but you're going to find out in just a second anyway. And apparently he's able to talk over the noise of this helicopter right above him.
"We all know that Mother Nature is ailing. Just look around you. The ground we stand on right now was covered with 300 feet of ice just 20 years ago. Because of global warming, glaciers all over the planet are retreating, melting away at an alarming rate, leaving less and less available drinking water for a world that already makes do with far too little. But this ice," this is that thing that the helicopter is dropping down, "this beautiful blue chunk of ice you see before you, this represents an end to all of those problems. Ladies and gentlemen, this ice has traveled 390 million miles to be with us today. This ice was mined on Europa, one of the moons of Jupiter. I chiseled this chunk out myself, and then I stood there atop one of our orbital drilling platforms, and I looked out at a field of shimmering blue that stretched as far as the eye could see. I'm not ashamed to say, I wept. I wept and rejoiced for the future of man." And looks like they're melting off a little piece of the
of the ice with a blowtorch into a wine glass. I can assure you it is completely safe to drink, and in fact tastes quite remarkable. So please, ladies and gentlemen, join me if you will. In a toast to the beginning of Roxxon's interplanetary ice pipeline, and to the end of thirst as we know it. And the people are raising up their glasses, like toasting stuff, and hear a voice.
Congratulations, Mr. Agger. You've managed to make even a simple glass of water ostentatious.
And of course, who is it? It's our friend Roz.
I wonder, what exactly will Roxxon be charging the people of Earth for the privilege of drinking its sparkly new space water?
How could one possibly put a price tag on human survival?
Oh, I'm pretty sure you can, down to the last penny.
Pardon me a moment, folks. Please, enjoy your water. And Ken takes her aside. Agent Rosalind Solomon of S.H.I.E.L.D., I presume.
So, you have been getting my messages.
Is that what you call them? I thought of them as more as threats and unlawful harassment. In fact, I've been meaning to call your superiors to lodge a formal complaint.
You should. I bet Director Hill would love to chat. She gets so lonely up there in her giant floating aircraft carrier with all of her bombs and superpowered assassins.
Are you threatening me? Again? You're not very good at it, you know.
Give me time. I'm new.
That must be why we've never heard of you. Or is it because your organization is so utterly outdated and insignificant?
We know what you're doing. We know about the ozone depletion project and the greenhouse gas satellites and the mobile factories that even the Latverian government calls toxic waste dumps on wheels. And now you want to use some fancy space ice to profit off the effects of global warming while simultaneously doing everything in your power to perpetuate its cause. You, Mr. Agger, are a real piece of work. But I won't let you get away with it. None of it!
You are grossly misinformed, Agent Solomon. Our mobile factories aren't on wheels. They fly. And all we're trying to do is give the people of today what they need to survive tomorrow. Roxxon is the world's wealthiest and most powerful super corporation. If we don't know what's best for the people of this planet, then I ask you, dear lady, who does? And the scene is stolen here by a voice from above, and it's turned out to Thor, and he's carrying a huge, humongous piece of blue ice. I was told the people of Midgard were in need of frozen water. Will this suffice? And he throws this huge boulder down with a thoom. And Rosalind says,
don't feel bad. He's a god. His was bound to be bigger.
And Thor lands, and all the reporters are trying to talk to him. Thor, Melita Gardner from the Daily Bugle, where did all this ice come from?
Consider it a generous donation from some old friends.
And we get a full-page shot here of Thor belting a frost giant in the mouth. And it's absolutely beautiful image here. Very, very, very Frank Frazetta-ish, which is something I've mentioned in regard to He Said Rebic's work before. Just a phenomenal page here. I would love to own this page. And Thor goes up to Roz and says, Agent Solomon, I brought you the largest mountain in all of Jotunheim. Might that finally be enough to win your company for the evening? It's a big piece of ice he brought, but it doesn't look anything like a mountain. I mean, either that or Jotunheim has the smallest mountains ever.
Not now.
And the Roxxon guy is like, Thor, what an unexpected pleasure. Dario Agger, CEO of Roxxon Energy. It's so rare that someone in my line of work gets to shake hands with a relative equal. Shall we have a drink? I always keep a chopper full of scotch hovering nearby.
Is this the villain you spoke of, Agent Solomon, the one who seeks to poison Midgard for financial gain?
He's one of them, yeah, one of the biggest. Think of him as the Dr. Doom of corporate scumbags. His nickname in business school was the Minotaur.
No, Ms. Solomon. As I'm sure you're well aware, my company and I have never been convicted of wrongdoing in any court of the world. Hear me, men of Roxxon, and mark well the words of Thor. Anyone who threatens Midgard shall have to know this hammer in ways they shall find most uncomfortable. I have my own floating island, and more money than most countries. Why would I threaten a world that has given me everything I could possibly ask for? There's no reason we should have to be enemies, Thor. I think we have more in common than you realize. Gods and CEOs, who are the masters of the earth, if not us. Perhaps next time you'll join me for that drink. And we shift scenes, and we're on an island, which is looks like it's a flying island, called Roxxon Island. And he's landed, you know, this guy, Agger, he's gone back to the island, and he's landing, and this conversation going on.
$478 billion. That's my rough estimate of what Thor just cost us, Mr. Agger. And that's in this quarter alone.
The ice pipeline project will have to be put on hold. There's no doubt about that. At least until we can salvage whatever we can from a publicity standpoint. To put that project on hold now means losing billions per day.
And Agger's like, get out.
The stock's already dropped 2 points. I think we should issue a statement that...
Get out if you value your lives,
says Agger, and we can see his eyes are starting to glow red, and his face is changing, and he's kind of going, arr! He's turning red, and then there's a big arg sound effect, and we shift scenes. And we're back at the, I guess, the Arctic, you know, the place where the ice is, and Thor is there with Solomon.
I would sooner drink with leprous trolls than that man. He cares not if this world lives or dies, so long as he is the one who profits.
Yeah, but unfortunately he's right about one thing. I can't touch him. His record's squeaky clean. If Roxxon gets caught breaking the law, they simply pay to have the laws changed. So far, I've got nothing I can prosecute on. I've got nothing at all to use against them.
You have one thing, says Thor. You have me, and gods are not bound by the laws of man. I have a few ideas on how to deal with a villain such as this. Come with me to Asgardia, and let us discuss them over warm mutton and cold mead.
Sorry, I can't. I've got forms to fill out, and,
That's a lie, says Coulson.
Damn it, Coulson.
Pardon, says Thor.
Nothing, look. How about tomorrow, over coffee?
Splendid. On the morrow it is. We shall drink coffee and decide how best to save the world.
Okay, yeah, sure, that sounds simple enough.
Until then, Agent Solomon, as Thor whips his hammer around, his foosh is off into the sky, and one of the reporters, or I don't know who this is somebody taking a picture with her cell phone.
Any idea if he has a girlfriend? I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah, he does. A great big blue one.
That's a horrible thing to say about yourself. Oh, I guess he's talking about Earth.
And we have an X-Men ad. X-Men, No More Humans, a new graphic novel coming out. And it has mutants in it. It has Magneto and Storm and Cyclops and somebody who I think is, I don't know who that is. I mean, it could be Shadowcat, I suppose, as Wolverine. Has, I think that's the White Queen and some guy with spiky hair, which may or may not be the Beast. So I have no idea who the spiky hair guy is. Anyway, so we shift scenes to many millennia from now. We're back to where we started out the issue on a dusty ruined of a world. And we can see very vague outline here of the continents. And we can see that this world is Earth. And we have Old Man Thor, and he's stomping around, and it's all red and orange and dusty. And he's like, blue. It used to be such a pretty shade of blue. And we see behind him his three daughters. I'm trying to remember who all these people are. Atli and Frigg and Elsiv, I think that's their names. I think that's what it is. Anyway.
It's certainly not very blue anymore. Looks like a giant pile of bilge snipe crap to me.
Atli?
Well, it does.
I'm sure Midgard was quite lovely in its day, Grandfather.
Yes, Elisiv, but it's been gone for a very long time. I don't think it does you any good, Grandfather, to keep coming back here. To keep beating yourself up over something that can't be changed.
I stopped beating myself up a long time ago, Frigg. I let the years do that for me. So many damn years.
Here, Grandfather, let us help you.
Take your hands off me. I may be old and half-blind and one-armed, but I'm not an invalid. And I don't come here just to feel sorry for myself. I come here because there are things that are still worth fighting for.
And there's, he's got like a little grove of scraggly little wooden sticks here.
Your garden looks like crap, too. You're trying to regrow it. You're trying to replenish the earth.
Trying, yes. Not succeeding. Not yet. My mother was Gaia. You'd think I'd have more of a green thumb.
Grandfather Thor, with all due respect, the earth is gone, and its age has passed. Its fate was in large part its own doing. Now there's nothing anyone can do, not even an Allfather, to bring it back. I know it's hard, but it's time you let Midgard go.
Maybe you're right. Maybe I'm the only fool left in the cosmos who still gives a damn about this blackened old rock.
All of a sudden there's this rumbling noise, everyone looks up, and it's just an amazing coincidence that somebody else has shown up here.
Grandfather, that terrible sound! What's happening?
By all the gods, is that who I think it is?
So, I'm not the only old fool after all.
And we see it is Galactus, and he is landing on Earth. And you can see his dick. That's what it looks like anyway. And Galactus is looming, and his hands and feet are glowing, and he's standing there all tall and stuff. And he says,
I hunger.
To be continued. And that is Thor, God of Thunder, number 19. And of course, we will have a few things to say about it, just kind of like we always do. But first, we have a promo to play.
You like cheap comic books, right? Well, I'm Professor Allen, and I talk about cheap comic books on the Quarterbin Podcast. In every episode, I'll dissect a single comic from my collection, as long as I paid no more than 25 cents for the issue. Forget about $4 new comics that you can read in 4 minutes, or crossover events that can cost $100 to collect. Join me in the Quarterbin, where even bad comics are a bargain, and good ones are a steal. The Quarterbin Podcast is part of the Relatively Geeky Podcast Network. Visit us at relativelygeekypodcast.blogspot.com or search Relatively Geeky or Quarterbin Podcast in iTunes. I guarantee it'll be worth every penny.
Me too. And we are back. So, yeah, of course I have a few things to say about this issue, but honestly, I don't have that much to say about it. I'll be honest with you. This issue is practically perfect in every way. This is a really well-told story. The artwork's phenomenal. The storytelling's clear. The ideas are interesting. The plot is interesting. The characters are interesting. There's almost nothing bad I can say about it. I mean, they've telegraphed a few things here. Like, yeah, we don't know about this guy changing into this horned demon thing that we see on the cover. But I'm assuming that's what's going on, behind the scenes here. That D. Agger is this, demon horned dude. Yeah, I mean, there's just a lot about this issue to like. In particular, I really, really like the art. Again, Esad Rebic has really knocked it out of the park here. Ives Sforzina, of course, is doing a great job as well. There's some really great, full-page spreads here. All of the Thor pages are excellent, and especially this one of Thor belting the Frost Giant. Now, I get the sense that this... is Thor belting the Frost Giant page was actually intended for, to be a pinup or poster or something like that, because it could very easily, just be something that Rebic did in his spare time or, been a con convention or something like that. But it's a fantastic picture, just really, really good. And it's hard to, say too much that's bad about the issue because, frankly, it's a good issue. And there's a lot to like about it. And again, it's been a while since we've been away. This is a different type of story than what we've seen before in Thor: God of Thunder. This is a very down-to-earth, kind of straightforward, street-level, superhero story. In a sense, it's more like a, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. story. Like I said, I'm a little surprised that they brought Coulson in so strongly And I can only imagine that since that TV show came on the air, that Coulson has become a fan favorite character in the comics as well. I've never actually seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I know people are going to say, oh, you need to see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah, I'll watch it eventually. You know me, I'm the last one to see anything. Anyway, so yeah, so just kind of a great issue all around, and definitely a really encouraging start to this last story arc here in Thor: God of Thunder. All right. And with that, it is time to wrap up the show for now. Just so you know, you can email the show. You really can. The email address is radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. And you can also join us on the Radio Free Asgard group on Facebook. It's been a while since we've seen a new face. It'd be great to see some of you out there. I know there's a lot of you out there listening who are not in the Facebook group, and it would be great to hear from you. And don't forget, we are going to be covering the Lee Kirby run, just kind of a retrospective, and if you want to be involved with that, we would love your input, and you can either leave it with us on Facebook, or indeed you can email it to us as well. What does Lee Kirby era mean to you? Do you like it? Do you hate it? You know, this is kind of your own thoughts on what you think of the Lee Kirby run. I'd love to hear from you. And with that, it is time to dash off back to Midgard across the Rainbow Bridge. And we'll see you next time here on Radio Free Asgard. You have been listening to Radio Free Asgard, a production of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all associated characters are mostly copyright Marvel Comics. The stories presented are done so for educational, review, and entertainment purposes only. No ownership is implied. The silly voices, however, well, they're all me. Musical selections from Eden, the Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, are copyright Mots Vent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll leave us a review on iTunes, tell your friends, or even join our Facebook group. We really love hearing from our listeners, and we appreciate all of your support. Thanks once again very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.